Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, a week away from the NFL draft. It is almost here. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So a week out from the draft, we're going to bring on our pal Eric Eager. He's the VP of Sumer Sports. Make sure you give him a listen as he is the co-host of the Sumer Sports Draft Show on Sirius XM. And we got to do a little Zach Gelb Show with Eric Eager, top 10 mock draft. Eric, as always, thanks so much for the time. How you been, my man?
Zach, I'm doing great. It's fun to be on with you. This is my favorite time of the football year. Hope springs eternal for all 32 teams.
Well, until your team messes something up on draft night and then you have a fan base that's angry and then everyone thinks their franchise is over. Like, I'm very concerned. We'll talk about what my team's going to do at three. I am used to being in the penthouse and now my football fandom is in the outhouse. I know no one has sympathy for me with six Super Bowl rings, but I am in just like a mental kind of pretzel in these like newfound emotions on just what the heck my team is going to do with the third overall pick. But that's a me problem, not a you problem. We'll go through this exercise and we'll see how this does play on out. Number one pick, Eric Eager has the Chicago Bears. You'll take the odds, I'll take the evens. Let me see what you're going to do here.
It's Caleb Williams. I think it will be Caleb Williams. It should be Caleb Williams.
Now, here's the thing that I'll just say, because I remember you were on and you said with us that if you were kind of running the war room, you would maybe trade back to two, get a bunch of picks, and then draft a quarterback at two because you don't think there's a difference, a great difference between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Now, I think that when you said that, it was like, I don't know, a month and a half ago. Do you still feel that way as we gear up for the NFL draft next week?
Well, I think if I had to do that, I would do it for Drake May. But like my issue is that I think Drake May is actually the third preferred guy. And I kind of respect the market, if that makes sense. You know, I think that the draft sequence has signal in it. And if they're telling me that Jaden Daniels is the second best guy, and if I'm trading back to two for the third best guy, then maybe I'm just not convicted enough anymore. But I would consider it. Like if a team, you know, like the Commanders gave me a Godfather offer for the first pick and I got Drake May instead, and I'm Chicago, like I would certainly consider it. I just think given all that Chicago's done since the last time we talked, right, they got Keenan Allen into the fold. They've been able to kind of, they got that ninth pick, which looks like it's going to be a premium player as well, as we'll talk about later in this one. I just think Caleb Williams here is probably fine. And I'm not going to sort of like get cute with it and try to get back to two and take May and build a bigger war chest.
Do you have Daniels as your third rated quarterback? Then if you're going Williams one and you have Drake May two, is Daniels then three?
He is. I think McCarthy's a ways away from the top three, even though I think McCarthy's a first round pick. I don't think he's a top three pick.
Gotcha. Eric Eager here with us. Then let me just one more follow-up before I get to my pick with the Commanders, and we're going to disagree, but I'm just curious. Why do you like Drake May over Jaden Daniels? What's the differentiating factors here for you?
I think that – well, so Daniels has like that high pressure-to-sack ratio that everybody's been talking about, and I think you can win with it, obviously, and you know, Randall Cunningham won with a high – you know, taking a lot of sacks. But there was always like something missing from his offenses. And back then, people didn't really appreciate how much those negative plays hurt offenses. And now we kind of do. And, you know, Justin Fields came out of Ohio State and was like a really accurate passer coming out. But he had those issues, hanging on the ball a long time and taking a lot of sacks. And so when I think about Daniels versus May, I think about the pressure to sack ratio. He's not going to be quite as athletic relative to NFL players as he was to college players. So he's not going to be able to escape as well. And when I think about quarterbacks being hurt and how many quarterbacks had to start last year, I'm just going to gravitate more towards the physically imposing players at the position now. So when I look at Herbert spending a whole year with broken ribs and still being able to make the playoffs 2 years ago, I look at Josh Allen and how much he's banged up. And then I look at like what the fall off is when a guy like Joe Burrow's hurt. And I'm like, Joe Burrow is a top five guy, but what differentiates him for me from a guy like Josh Allen is that physical imposingness of his body. And I think Drake May, of those two guys, is the most physically imposing, prototypical quarterback in this draft. And so if I have to break a tie between two players, I'm going to look towards that kind of player.
Eric Eager here with us. So he takes, to no surprise, with the Bears, Caleb Williams going one. For the Commanders at two, even though I respect Eric Eager's opinion and all of his rankings and his analysis, I just feel like it's going to be Jaden Daniels. And personally, I think Jaden Daniels is the better quarterback. The thing that concerns me with May is everyone's selling me on the potential, and a lot of people think he's going to have to sit year one. I understand what you just said about Daniels, but I think that dual threat ability and the 1,100 rushing yards with the 40 passing touchdowns, I just think there's a higher ceiling for Jaden Daniels than Drake May. So two picks in the books. Bears take Caleb Williams. Commanders, I have them going with Jaden Daniels. Then we put my team, the Patriots, on the clock. Eric Eager, who do you have the Patriots taking here and why? And I think I know where you're going to go.
Actually, so here's a question I have you for you, Zach, because obviously you're very sharp and you understand your favorite team better than anybody, I would imagine. How much Bill Belichick still had it, didn't he, from a defensive standpoint, correct?
Yes. So he still had it from a defensive standpoint offensively.
A disaster.
The day he said Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are basically going to be running the offense 2 years ago, I'm like, oh, this offense sucks.
So one thing, the canary in the coal mine for me was when Josh Uche got like no money in free agency. And I thought to myself, Belichick was coaching a top five defense last year without really any premium players. You know, you have Duggar's a good player. Judon's a good player. Barmore's a good player. But like, there aren't premium players on this defense. And he's more than the sum of the parts. I think that this team roster wise is worse than their record was last year. Ironically, for a third pick.
You're not wrong.
So they can't take a quarterback here. They have to trade this pick to Minnesota or Denver or LA, LV or whatever. So I'm going to trade the third pick to the Vikings for picks 11, 23, and next year's first rounder for the Vikings. So you're going to get a first rounder next year, which it could be a really good pick because the Vikings are going to be starting a rookie quarterback. And I'm going to get 11 and 23. So the Patriots are out of this content, and the Vikings are going to take Drake May.
You got it. So I'll put Drake May in there. And I'm also going to write down 11 and 23 because I may use those picks to maybe move up later and maybe have the Patriots take a quarterback, depending how the rest of this goes. Okay. So quarterback. There is a chance we see four quarterbacks go in the first four picks. We just had the trade with the Vikings. McCarthy still available. Michael Penix Jr. still available. I believe in this scenario, the Cardinals stay home. They already paid Kyler Murray. I know Monty Ossenfort. I know Jonathan Gannon weren't the ones behind that. But I think that they honestly want to give Kyler Murray a fair opportunity at this. And I also believe that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in the draft, I'm having the Cardinals go with Marvin Harrison Jr. in at 4. And now the Chargers, Eric Eager, on the clock with the 5th pick.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I think the best pick in the first round will be Harrison at 4. Yeah, this one, I think the Chargers will want to trade back. One of my friends, Corey Krawick, is the new director of player personnel, former analytics guy for the Ravens, a team that traded back a lot. The problem is at 5, you're basically hoping the Giants trade back or trade up with you to go get J.J. McCarthy. I think the Giants play chicken here and hold steady. The Chargers are in the same division with the Raiders and the Broncos, so I don't think that they're going to allow those guys to trade up. So I think they stay pat here. I think they take Malik Nabers, who I think many people believe has a similar draft grade to Marvin Harrison. So I think Malik Nabers goes 5 win your division before I change to San Diego at 5 here.
Gotcha. Well, let me ask you this, Eric. We talked about Marvin Harrison Jr. We've talked about Malik Nabers. I'm not saying that Rome Odunze has been disrespected in this process, but it seems like it's Marvin Harrison Jr., it's Malik Nabers, and then it's Rome Odunze. And some people believe Nabers is better than Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't. How far is it from whoever you make one between Marvin Harrison Jr., Nabers, and then Odunze when you just look at what their careers could project to be?
I think both. So in our Sumer Sports draft guide, which you can get at sumersports.com, we have Harrison projected at 1,000 yards in year one. We have Nabers around 850, and I think Odunze we have like around 750. Don't quote me on that. Like it's a drop off, but it's not significant. I think Rome Odunze is a very good kind of like I would say if you're thinking about like draft prospects, think about AJ Green, Julio Jones, and then think about like Mike Evans, right? Like Mike Evans is a phenomenal NFL wide receiver, but from a peak perspective, Julio Jones, AJ Green, better players, right? And that's, I think, how you can see this, where the team that drafts Odunze is going to be as happy as Tampa Bay was when they drafted Mike Evans. But from a like, is this guy a blue chip number one premium position wide receiver type player? Like, I think Odunze is going to be like just a smidge below those two.
Gotcha. Eric Eager here with us. Once again, he's the VP of Sumer Sports. You could check him out as the co-host of the Sumer Sports Draft Show on Sirius XM. So in this scenario, with Williams to the Bears, Daniels to the Commanders, Vikings trade up, they snag Drake May, Cardinals go Marvin Harrison Jr., Chargers go Malik Nabers. The board plays where the Giants are at 6. They didn't have to trade up to get that quarterback. If 4 quarterbacks go in front of the Giants, I think then they would take a wide receiver. But in this scenario, it's 3 quarterbacks, it's 2 wide receivers. I'll have the Giants selecting J.J. McCarthy with the 6th overall pick. And then Eric is back on the clock with the 7th pick. And let's see what Tennessee will do.
Yeah, this one's, I think, probably the first post-quarterback, straightforward one. It's Joe Alt, yeah. Tackle, Notre Dame. Brian Callahan, new head coach, son of Bill Callahan, offensive line, you know, kind of legend coach there. I think that they'll go. They got wide receiver, they got corner in free agency. They still need offensive line where they've struggled for years. I think he's a cornerstone guy. They go with Skoronski last year. They go with Alt this year. Titans are going to be frisky this year, I think.
Yeah, and I look at this draft, like if you had me make one prediction and you say, okay, you can't have Williams go in 1, I would then say I best feel that Joe Alt is going to be the pick at 7. I think every mock draft has Joe Alt going 7 to the Tennessee Titans. Okay, let me put Atlanta now on the clock. I think what they could do here is they could take Odunze, or they could go defense with the Jared Verse, or maybe even a Dallas Turner. I know a lot of people have Turner in front of Verse. I'm going to say Atlanta keeps this train going on the offensive side of the ball. You got Bijan Robinson. You take a look at the rest of the weapons. They have Drake London. They have Kyle Pitts. I think they're going to go add Rome Odunze here for Kirk Cousins, and they continue to just make sure that this offense is in more than just a stable form in the year of 2024. So I will go with our 3rd wide receiver with Rome Odunze in at 8, and then the Bears are sitting at 9 for Eric Eager.
Wow, that's an awesome because I think Dallas Turner at eight is like the second one that I would consider to be somewhat a straightforward one, but that's very interesting. Okay, so Chicago at nine. I do think they need some pass rush. Turner doesn't fit what they want to do all that well. I'm actually going to surprise some people here and go off the board a little bit. I'm going to go with UCLA defensive lineman Laiatu Latu.
Wow. So that would
I think he's better than both of those players and fits what they want from a physical, like UCLA, all of Chip Kelly's warts. UCLA produced physical, like I think about, you know, Matt Eberflus, Indianapolis, think of DeForest Buckner. Think about I used to live in Cincinnati. I went to a lot of like Colts games, like 2 hours away. You stand next to, I'm 6'3", like 230, right? I stand next to DeForest Buckner. I feel like less of a man, right? Like he's just a big physical human being. And like, I think of Laiatu Latu as that kind of player. Jared Verse is awesome. Turner awesome in his own way. Turner fits more what the Falcons want to do. I think Verse is maybe a little bit more stiff. I think Laiatu Latu is going to be drafted higher than what people think.
If you had control of all 10 of these picks, how many defensive players will you mock in the first 10?
Turner. Just one.
Just one. Okay.
Yeah. Like if, cause I would go Turner eight, and then I go to Dunza nine. Like if you didn't take a Dunza here, mm-hmm. I go Turner and then a Dunza to the Bears. And then you'd have pick 10, but like, you know, pick 10 would probably be a Jets taking an offensive player to try to help Aaron Rodgers.
Gotcha. And then finally at 10, man, I'm tempted here with just how this exercise plays out. I know the Jets don't really need help in the defense side of the ball, but you get Verse, or you could get Dallas Turner at 10. It's like, okay, just get more, just get a bit richer on the defense side of the ball. But I'm going to go Brock Bowers. That, like, I look for the sexy storylines. You have Aaron Rodgers on offense. You got obviously Garrett Wilson. They could use Brock Bowers there as someone to be just a dominant tight end that people think he could be. So we will wrap this up with the Jets taking Brock Bowers. Fun exercise. Appreciate Eric Eager, the VP of Sumer Sports, for helping us out. Once again, make sure you listen to him as he's the co-host of the Sumer Sports Draft Show on Sirius XM. Eric, thank you. Appreciate it.
Zach, you're the best. Have a good one and enjoy the draft next week.
You got it. We'll do. There he is, Eric Eager, joining us on the show. Okay, we'll take a break. Let's go to the hardwood next. We'll talk about the Boston Celtics. There was already a ton of pressure on them. Now there is even more pressure on them. We'll explain why when we return in 5 minutes.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I don't know if this story is true. I think it's so random that it has to be true. And I did some checking on the good old Google, and it did say that Monty Ossenfort was a pretty damn good tennis player in high school. So Daly, who's in the YouTube chat, who listens to our show daily. That was a crappy pun that I just tried there. He just, when I mentioned the name Monty Ossenfort, said, I lost to Monty Ossenfort in the Minnesota State Tennis Tournament, and I was heated. And I'm like, wait. You were going up against the now general manager of the Arizona Cardinals in a tennis tournament in high school? I go, I need to hear this story. He goes, short story. Ossenfort beat me in tennis. I freaked out, and some local journalist wrote a story about my antics. So it was like Daly just McEnroe without the success on the tennis court, just throwing the racket, yelling at the judge, and just freaking out on Monty Ossenfort. I'm really compelled. Samter, maybe we could do this. I'm going to give you a little bit of a challenge here. I'm going to get more of these details from Daly. I'm going to attempt to get these details from Daly. I'm going to effort to get these details from Daly, which could be very tough. Very tough to do so. I want to reach out to the Cardinals and get Monty Ossenfort on the show after the draft. Like all these, a lot of these GMs, they do after draft availability. Like we get Brandon Bean on a ton. We get Joe Shane on. I want to find out this story. And if the story's good enough, find out more about Monty Ossenfort's tennis career and also see if he remembers Daly. We'll get Daly's actual name, freaking out on the tennis court. And it's something that you learn each and every day. I don't think that this is a prank on me. If it is a prank on me, I'm okay with getting God here and having like Ashton Kutcher or somebody run out. There's one prank that happened on me. I don't know if you remember this, Stu, but when Tom DiBenedetto, who is Rome's producer now, he was my board op, and Mike Biseglia was the producer of the show when the Zach Gelb show officially launched in the 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time slot. We had Ben Bartsch on. I don't know if you remember that. He played at a smaller school, and he ended up getting drafted. We had him on in the pre-draft process. I want to say it was maybe Colleen Wolf was doing an interview with him, and it was some bizarre smoothie. I could be combining another player, but I think it was him. And he just had a ridiculous smoothie at the combine, and he got a lot of fame for it. So we had Ben Bartsch on. We do a conversation with Ben Bartsch like a month before the draft. Like, it was right after the combine, and then like you had a month still in between the draft. Then the week of the draft, and this was when COVID was happening. So I was home for this, and we got a call on the hotline from someone saying it was Ben Bartsch. And he was like, oh, I listened to the show ever since I came on and I'm working out. And I heard you guys were talking about the smoothies again. I want to come back on. So D-Ben gets in my ear and he goes, hey, Zach, Ben Bartsch is on the line. He wants to talk to you. I'm like, Ben Bartsch is on the line. All right, Ben, how are you? And it was a 5-minute conversation that we had with Ben. And 30 seconds into the phone call, I kind of sensed it wasn't Ben Bartsch. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, how do I know this is you? Like, I don't really think this is Ben Bartsch. And since he wasn't like immediately getting offended by me saying that, my antenna just kept on like going up and up and up saying that this definitely isn't him. And then he was talking about the college that he went to. It was St. John's in Minnesota. And when he's talking about the college, he said something, and I was like, this isn't you. We got to go. And we hung up on him after 5 minutes of talking to him. And we got. So I knew who Ben Bartsch's agent was, and I texted the agent, and I said, hey, I just want to make you aware, I don't think this was Ben that ended up calling back to the show a month later, but someone called our hotline pretending to be Ben Bartsch. The agent's response was, oh no, not again. There was someone that was pranking local radio shows, and they pranked like 2 or 3 of them before they got to us pretending to be Ben Bartsch, and then they eventually got to us. And then I got on the air and I said, see, I knew it wasn't Ben Bartsch. And I guess since I was talking about whoever that person was, he kind of panicked and he stopped pranking radio shows. Biseglia, who was the producer at the time, I'll give him credit. The number when you call pops up in the system. Biseglia called the number. And when he confronted the person, pretending to be Ben Bartsch, the guy was like, man, I don't know what you're talking about, and hung up the phone on Biseglia. So that's when we definitely got more of the confirmation that it wasn't Ben Bartsch. But I think that's my most bizarre draft story. Actually having Ben Bartsch on the show, and then someone calling up pretending to be Ben Bartsch, and then there was a Ben Bartsch impersonator leading up to the NFL draft. Ben Bartsch is on the Niners now. He got drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Anywho, I want to get to the NBA postseason. And when we get to the NBA postseason, a few days ago, if I said, who are the teams with the most pressure on them? I would say it's the Boston Celtics and it's the Milwaukee Bucks. And I know some are going to say, oh, what about the Denver Nuggets? The Nuggets are expected to win a title again. And I would be surprised if they don't win a title again. But when you just win a championship, I do feel as if the pressure is off of you a little bit to win the championship again, even though your team, in my opinion, is the favorite and the best team in the NBA. Now, the Giannis injury and the ambiguity around the Giannis injury, I just, like, he's going to return at some point, you would think, in the first round. But if they go up 2-0 against the Pacers, can you win the series without him? I guess you can. But the other part about the Giannis injury is I remember when he really got hurt in the conference finals when they won the championship and they still found a way to get to the NBA finals. And when he got hurt in the conference finals, up until that game one of the NBA finals, no one thought he was going to play. And he ended up playing and didn't miss a game in the NBA finals. So I don't know if this is a little gamesmanship. I think when it comes to the first round up against the Indiana Pacers, you don't need that gamesmanship. But all we know is that Giannis Antetokounmpo has a calf strain. But you look at the Eastern Conference. I know the Heat aren't in because they lost last night to the Sixers. But if the Heat beat our guy, Coby White, on Friday night, who had a masterful performance, wow, that's crazy, bro, then Miami would be in the postseason. But Jimmy Butler had an MCL injury last night. So you look in the Eastern Conference. Giannis Antetokounmpo has a calf strain. Jimmy Butler injured his MCL. It's clear last night Joel Embiid is not 100%. And he even admitted it when he came back that he wasn't 100%. And don't forget, I know the Knicks are having a successful season, but Julius Randle's out for the season. So we already knew heading into this postseason that from a record standpoint, the Celtics are by far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference because they were up 14 games on the Knicks, who were the 2 seed. But the Celtics enter the postseason, assuming the Heat end up getting in, with Jimmy Butler out with an MCL injury, who could be the Celtics' first-round opponent. You have Giannis Antetokounmpo out for now with the calf strain. And Embiid is not a full go. And Julius Randle is out for the year. Celtics, if they don't reach the NBA Finals, I know it's championship or bust, but if they don't reach the NBA Finals, it is just a disaster. It is pathetic. And it's really laughable with all these injuries that have been going down as of late in the Eastern Conference. Pat Boyle is here. And I know Pat Boyle is a big Knicks honk. I woke up this morning and I saw a tweet of Pat Boyle attacking now our former boss in Spike Eskin. Eskin down the turnpike in Philadelphia. Boyle says, bam, on Twitter to the old boss. Boyle is team Ryan Hurley. He was like, screw Spike walking around the office. So the Knicks and the Sixers analysis from Pat Boyle. I know you are very confident in your team. I don't think with any team you root for, and I don't mean this in like a negative way, but I don't ever recall you rooting for a team when they're in the playoffs. You do this like hickey thing where it's like, here they come, they're going to win, they're going to dominate. Canyon of Heroes, here comes the parade. You know, go New York, go New York, go. That's what we usually get from Pat Boyle. He has the pom-poms out. Like, he's probably going to pick the Islanders to win the Stanley Cup.
No. No. I think the Islanders get swept in the first round. I have zero confidence. Zero confidence.
The cojones have finally dropped from Pat Boyle. Mazel tov. I'm shocked. Usually every year you're picking your team.
No. I'm very fair.
Slobbering over your team.
I am a very fair fan. I am not this pompous, overconfident, arrogant fan. But when I think my team's going to do well, I get behind them like any fan would.
I was listening to someone last year. Didn't you pick the Knicks to go to the NBA Finals last year?
I did.
Last year. Oh, but he doesn't get overconfident with his teams.
And the eighth seed, the eighth seed in the East, the Miami Heat went to the conference finals. So I believe that the Knicks very well could have as well.
Okay. Let me just ask you this. I want the Spike Eskin, Pat Boyle, like, argument here. Why are you so confident that the Knicks will beat the Philadelphia 76ers in how many games did you say?
Five.
Five games. Why do you believe it will be five games, that it will be a gentleman's sweep for your New York Knicks?
Because Embiid's not 100%, and that's clear. And even if he was 100%, the Knicks probably win it in six. The Knicks are going to beat him into submission because they have not just one good, strong defensive center.
You know, this guy hunted lions growing up as a kid.
He can hunt armadillos. He can hunt giraffes, whatever the hell animal he wants to hunt. He hasn't hunted an Isaiah Hartenstein and a Mitchell Robinson with a 1-2 punch. Mitchell Robinson last year, if the Knicks play the Sixers, yeah, Mitchell Robinson probably gets in foul trouble every single game, and Embiid gets to the free throw lines to get his 14 out of 35 points per game in the cheap, Embiid way that he always gets his points.
Mm-hmm.
Not happening this year where the whistles are down, and this has been a trend for the last 3-4 weeks. The whistles have been down. Yeah. Embiid, I know, only came back, with six games left to play, but the Knicks now have Isaiah Hartenstein, who has stepped into a major role this year, offensively and defensively. So they can kind of, even if, you want to say Embiid's getting calls on a given night, the Knicks now have two bigs that they can split fouls between. Embiid's not 100%. The Knicks, who are one of the best interior defensive teams, they are going to make life a living hell for him. And you saw it down the stretch. He had to start shooting threes in order to score because he couldn't get anything inside. And that's on Bam Adebayo in the Heat. So right then and there, the Knicks take away the number one weapon, healthy or not, and he's not healthy. And I don't, you watch the game.
He's not 100%.
Anybody that watched the game, he's not 100%.
But this time of the year, he's never 100%. As great as Embiid is, this time of the year, he's never 100%. And he's, out of shape come the playoffs and as the series does go on.
And who have we seen the Philadelphia 76ers lose to in the playoffs the last couple of years? Inferior teams, Atlanta Hawks.
But so here's the thing.
The Knicks are inferior, but the Sixers the Sixers are not built to go to the conference finals. They're not built to win in the playoffs because Embiid's never healthy. Now, Tyrese Maxey stepped
good.
Up. He's great.
Shut up for a second.
Hold
right?
on. I'm just – you no, asked just, me just, why
just,
I'm
just,
so
just
confident.
Shut up for a second. I didn't need, a five-minute rant here. I am personally conflicted on this series. And it's because of both fan bases. Personally, right? I know Leon Rose, since I was, 2 or 3. So I want to see Leon Rose.
I love when you post him with the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I want to see Leon Rose go as far as possible. But both fan bases make me want to root against both these teams. Here's why. You have made me now want to root against the Knicks. And Samter knows my friend who works in radio. Because we had, remember my friend that we had a steak with, Samter, at the Super Bowl 2 years ago that was talking your ear off about Ben Simmons? And Samter was like, this guy smells. He won't shut up. Get him away from me. I was doing my charity act of the year, all right, Samter? I was trying to be a nice guy. Last night, because this guy, he's a Cherry Hill guy and where Leon Rose still lives or has a house. He texts me, he goes, and I'm not a Knicks fan. I don't really have I grew up as a Net fan because I love Jason Kidd, but I don't really have an NBA team. And that kid, the moment the Sixers won last night, goes, Sixers are coming for your Knicks. I'm like, my Knicks? And I understand it was done in a jovial way, but I'm like, I said to him, how could you be so confident? The Sixers always disappoint in the postseason. And he's like, how could you be confident in the Knicks? So there I was like, okay, I'm rooting for the Knicks. But then to see you strutting around the office like a peacock, it's kind of crazy.
Because I'm confident in my – what do you want me to do? Zach, maybe the Knicks can win a game or two. I'm just hoping for the best.
No, I'm confident. They're the 2 seed in the East. They are the 2 seed in the East. And they've been playing with
Without Julius Randle for the last, 25, 30 games, they played a giant portion of the schedule without OG Anunoby. Jalen Brunson's played like an MVP this year. Yeah, excellent trade. And I saw what they did in the month of January when they were the closest thing to fully healthy that they'll be in the playoffs. They decimated teams left and right. They were winning by an average margin of victory of 18 points in the month of January. They were nearly unstoppable. So I know that with Anunoby on the floor, Randle, of course, he's not going to be there. That's, you know, that's a blow. That's a reason why, you know, again, Knicks go up against the Celtics in the conference finals. Knicks in the second round against the Pacers or the Bucks. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a battle.
I have a lot of connections on the Knicks. But I'm rooting for the Knicks. Julius Randle, by the way, lives in the same building as my cousin. My cousin's son, kid refers to me as the uncle, but I'm not technically the uncle. It's just the closest of the family.
Hey, Uncle Zachy.
He plays basketball. He's like 2 years old with Julius Randle's youngest son.
Wow.
So you know what?
So you have every reason to root for the
New
Knicks.
York, go, New York, go, New York, go!
And because I'm a fan and I'm confident in my team, you want to root against the Knicks because of that.
But if there are any program directors listed in Philadelphia, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Sixers. 10, 9, 8, 76ers.
You don't even know the words. That song sucks, by the
way. Clap your hands, everybody.
Yeah, that song sucks.
For Philadelphia, 76ers.
Just wait tomorrow. I'll be working on the Maggie and Perloff show right here on this great network.
Yeah? Going after Perloff?
I'm going right after Perloff.
Oh, you're taking... Wait, hold on. You're the fill-in guy. Behind the... What, you're doing updates or you...
I'm filling in producing the program tomorrow.
Where's EJ?
I don't know. He's off.
Knicks are about to start a playoff run. EJ's the Knicks guy. That's the show bit. And they have you now in? So now you're going to outshine EJ. And then
I'm filling in on the show.
I know you, though. You're going to be obnoxious. You're going to be arrogant. You're going to be loud. And you're going to fight Perloff. And Perloff's like a pacifist. So you're going to fight a pacifist.
Perloff's going to be spitting his biblicisms about the Sixers. And now this is the year. And he's going to be doing his raunchy Perloff stuff, and I'm going to have to put him in his place.
Okay. Hey, Stu, you've been around this business a long time.
Yes.
When a fill-in producer says he's going to put the host in his place, how does that usually turn out?
That usually doesn't go well for some of the shows I've worked on. No. That's not a good idea.
Pat Boyle's going to be begging Spike, hey, I know I just trashed you on Twitter. Need a job in Philly.
I'm not just a fill-in producer, Zach. Come on, don't limit me, don't knock me down like that.
I don't mean it that way. You know, I have immense respect for you, and I'm a big fan of your work, but in that role tomorrow, you are the fill-in producer.
Correct.
And that doesn't mean that you don't also host and that you're not an on-air personality. I know you do play-by-play, too, for the Big Ten Network, all right? I'm well-versed in the Pat Boyle career. But I'm just saying, the role you are playing tomorrow is the fill-in producer.
Yeah, but so again, what do you want me to do? When Perloff's going to get there and he's going to start talking about the Sixers don't need Embiid and he's going to say Maxey's going to destroy the Knicks and Nick Batum's going to hit 8 threes.
Stab him in the back, obviously. I'm just saying, it's not the best thing to do from a career standpoint. I would advise it, but I don't know. Maybe our new boss or Mayor Nick, who got a nice little promotion, and maybe they won't advise going after the morning show host, morning show co-host, right?
Well,
and Andrew Perloff.
I see it this way. Unless Perloff's going to start flashing some courtside seats my way.
Ooh,
if those aren't in my future, then anything is game.
You know what? That's a good point. I'm going to text Perloff. Hey, you want to go to Knicks Sixers playoff game? Love it. I'll get you a popcorn. About $20 at MSG. Here's Pat Boyle with the latest. Infinity Sports Network update. Almost called it the old name. Then almost called it the company name. We're adjusting. Be patient with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Let's hear from Elliot Wolf, who is basically running the draft process for the Patriots on the number three pick.
Yeah, so ongoing. We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft, and you know, we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and you know, strike if the board kind of recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
That ended up being a nothing burger quote because everyone took that quote. Part of that quote was like, oh, the Patriots say they're open for business. Yeah, they also said they're open to do anything. Like, that's just such a waste of a quote. It really is. But it's amazing that every one of these, like, aggregators would be like, oh, Patriots open for business. Patriots open for business. Said they're open to move up, move down, stay put. You know, do 10 push-ups on the floor, go get a steak dinner. Like, he said everything. Here is Jason Kelce on his podcast, the New Heights podcast. He lost his Super Bowl ring in a Skyline Chili pool bath. I saw the video of this, but listen up.
We had a full vat of Skyline Chili. God. This is actually technically a three-way. It's not just Skyline Chili. Mixed into that chili were socks with make-believe rings, and then there's actually only one real ring in there, which was my Super Bowl ring, that they had to try and find. One in each pool. But there was an unfortunateness. As you guys know, this game existed because I continually lose my Super Bowl ring. And I don't even know if Travis still knows this, but I legitimately lost my Super Bowl ring in this event. They could not find it. We have still yet to find it.
What did you expect to happen?
I thought that we would just go in the pool and get the ring afterwards.
You're such a imbecile.
Greg got a metal detector. There's actually metal in Skyline Chili. There's traces of iron within the chili itself. So it's an impossible task to try and use a metal detector.
That's so good.
There's probably lead as well in there somewhere. It's just a hunk of metal. I'll just have another one made, I think. They can do that, right?
I don't know, Jason, probably.
Guess we're going to find out.
I love Jason Kelce. I'm kind of calling cap on this story. So I saw the video. They have the event, right? They put the ring, I guess, in like a sock or something, and they try to have people find it, and no one could find it. I feel like this is just a bit. I don't think he actually lost his Super Bowl ring in this entire thing, but maybe I'm wrong. Let's go to Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager. Do they need a true number one wide receiver to win?
No. I mean, listen, you'd love to have two guys out there that are number ones. You know what I mean? Or like, you're always going to try to find the best players you can. What you need are guys that, in this offense, that are smart, versatile, selfless, and can make the plays that their skill set allows them to make. I think that's what we're looking for. You know, if there's a one that pops up either in, you know, free agency or draft that makes sense for us, or a really good two, you know, we'll do it. But I don't think not having a one, Matt, doesn't mean we can't have success, you know, on offense or as a team.
Well, success is winning a Super Bowl for the Bills now. And I know Brady won without having number one wide receivers. I know Mahomes has done it. Right, there's been quarterbacks to do it, but with the way your team is currently constructed, you need a number one wide receiver. I also took a little shot there at Stephon Diggs. We need a selfless player. That's because Stephon Diggs is very selfish towards the end. They're going to trade up in the draft. There's no doubt about it in my mind. They're going to trade up in the draft. They're going to take a wide receiver. Let's go to Joe Shane on the Rich Eisen report that the Giants have buyer's remorse on Daniel Jones.
The expectation is for him to be our starter. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I hope he doesn't have any setbacks. He's working his tail off. I'm still confident in Daniel, the way he's wired, what he showed us in 2022. again, do we have the best start to the season last year? Absolutely not. And a lot, you know, anything that could have went wrong, it seems like it did early on between injuries and some other things. So I've still got a lot of confidence in Daniel.
We all know how this plays out. Giants are going to take a quarterback at 6. If only 3 have gone, if 4 go in the top 5, then they won't take a quarterback and they'll say, see, we told you. We had confidence in Daniel Jones, but I don't think they really do have confidence in Daniel Jones. Here's Coach Prime Deion Sanders on the report. He wants 6 teams to only draft his son and only potentially 6 teams on CBS News Colorado.
Who said that, and did you see me say that? One thing about a lie is so fast. It can outrun the truth any day. That's a bold-faced lie. That's a stupid lie. I have more than 6 owners that are friends. I have more than 6 GMs that are friends. I know a lot of people. Come on. So I would never do that. If I was that stupid, I wouldn't disclose the teams I would want them to play for. I would disclose the several that I wouldn't. Yeah, that's stupid. That's stupidity. I would never do that.
It's funny because this all started when Coach Prime said there's only some teams that my sons could get drafted by, that I'll allow them to get drafted by. And now I guess he gets all upset when someone listed the 6 teams, Santa.
No, I think, to his point, I think it's not necessarily teams that he wants them to play for, but there's a certain couple of teams that if they are going to draft his guys, he can say, no, we're not playing with you. It's not like, hey, I want to go to the Cowboys. It's, I don't want to go to the Browns.
Gotcha. Why don't you throw the Browns out there?
I don't know, because, you know, I hate them.
Why do you hate the Browns?
The Browns?
Who are you, Juju Smith-Schuster?
I don't
go on Snapchat if you are Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, I don't like the Browns.
And I saw something on Snapchat with Juju Smith-Schuster the other day. I don't think he meant to post what he ended up posting. It was a little R-rated. Coming on back with Avery Johnson.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.